Hi, everyone. Today we read further from Matthew chapter 14. Today, Jesus finally gets a little peace and quiet to himself after hearing of John's death and then all of the rest of the events that took place last time, the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus here finds a little peace and quiet, but it doesn't last long. And then we'll see what happens when the disciples and Jesus encounter one another in strange circumstances. So, from Matthew 14, 22 through 33. Matthew 14, 22 through 33. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat, by this time, was a long way from the shore, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I, don't be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Matthew 14, 22 through 33. I want to focus on a very small word in all of this text that we've been reading. And in order to be able to focus on it, I thought I would write it very large, since it is a small word. I'll write it very large, and then we can all see it. It's one word that Peter utters. If. Now, it might not seem like much, but this word has the potential to cause all sorts of problems for us. If is one of those words that, in the right circumstances, is fine, doesn't have any problems with, you know, if it's raining, we'll do something else. Not a big deal, right? But in the wrong circumstances, this word creates what we sometimes call an ultimatum, or in Peter's case, the seeds of doubt. Both are similar. An ultimatum contains seeds of doubt. For example, the ultimatum of somebody needing to keep their job but struggling with, say, alcoholism. And so the boss says, "If you want to keep your job, you will get treatment. If you want to keep your job, you will get treatment." That creates an ultimatum. If the person wants to continue working, he's going to have to get treatment, or she's going to have to get treatment. And so that creates that tension. In a marriage, this word creates, I've seen it create all sorts of doubt. "If you truly loved me, you would do this," whatever it may be. "If you truly loved me, you would do this." "If we're to stay married, we need to do something." This word "if" can create a lot of problems in our life. Think of your own situation. If I had taken on a different career, if I hadn't gone to work doing such, what would my life have been like? If I hadn't gotten married when I did, if we hadn't had children when we did, if I had gone to college or hadn't gone to college, if I hadn't been in the military or had been in the military, if. It creates wondering, worry that we made the wrong choices, creates seeds of doubt that this is really what we're supposed to be doing. It can create all sorts of problems. If. Peter, in our text, uses the word. Jesus had just stepped out onto the water, and he has said, to calm their fears, "Take heart, it is I. Don't be afraid." Jesus said this, "It's I, it's me." And Peter answers him, "If, Lord, if it is you," he just said it was him. "Lord, if it is you, command me to come out on the water," an ultimatum. Jesus had just said, "It is I, don't be afraid, Lord, if it is you." And Peter walks out onto the water after Jesus commands him to come out. And then his doubt takes over, his worry takes over, his eyes get distracted, his fear overwhelms him, and the seeds of doubt take control and he starts sinking. So that's what happens with if. It happens all the time in Scripture. There are all sorts of things that Jesus has to overcome because we throw this word out. If. The one man comes to Jesus and says, "If you can, heal me." Jesus responds, "If I can? If you can heal me. If you can." This word is trouble in Scripture. And it doesn't always end in extraordinary, extreme circumstances, but it's a word that the devil uses, that Satan uses to sow those seeds of doubt in our hearts, in our minds, and we worry and we get concerned and we start questioning God, just like Peter did. "Lord, if it is you." A couple of main places we encounter this word. Not just here in Matthew chapter 14, and we'll get to how Jesus chooses to remedy this doubt, this if. When Jesus is baptized and he comes up out of the water, John has proclaimed him the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Holy Spirit descends as a dove. The voice from heaven says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So we have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all there together. He goes out into the wilderness. Jesus is cast out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And this is the word that the devil uses to Jesus. "If you are the Son of God, turn this bread or these stones into bread." If you are the Son of God. "If you are the Son of God, let's go up on the top of the temple and jump down, and if you are the Son of God, you'll be fine." "If you bow down and worship me, I'll give you all of the kingdoms of the world." Later, when Jesus is hanging on the cross, people walk by, and even the thief on the cross next to him, or the other bandits on the cross next to him, the other people being executed. "If you are the Son of God, if you are who you say you are, come down from the cross and we'll believe in you. If you are, if you are the Son of God, then save us and save yourself and we'll believe in you." If. It's a tough word. Jesus encounters another if when Lazarus has died and he goes to see Mary and Martha in Bethany, and one of the first words they say to Jesus is, "If you had been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died." They both do. If you had been here. Jesus, if you had saved somebody from something, if you had intervened, if you had been here, if you were the Son of God, if you are all that you say you are, if you hear our prayers, if. We human beings have a bad case of the ifs. We do it all the time. And it doesn't, again, always have catastrophic or cataclysmic or some other kind of dire circumstances, but these little words can do so much damage to our faith, to our hard-fought truth that we believe in, to our relationships and our families. If. It happens, I'm in room 5, and it happens in church too. We look at things from an earthly perspective and we say, if offerings don't increase, if the depression continues, we have to wear masks, if we have to do these things, we question all sorts of things with this word. If. It's a tough word. But Jesus isn't bound to if. Jesus uses another word, similar, but a little different. He uses it in this text with the disciples. Is. Jesus takes an if and turns it to an is. He even uses it preemptively here. Jesus says to the disciples, take heart, it is I. Now in our text, he doesn't leave Peter to drown in his ifs. He doesn't leave Peter there. In fact, he reaches down in the midst of the wind and the waves and he grabs Peter. Immediately, it says, his hand goes out and he reaches and takes hold of Peter, pulls him up on the boat with a question. Why did you doubt? I said it was me. Then he gets into the boat and the wind ceases, the wind stops, and they believe. So Jesus changes the if to an is. And then the disciples change their if to you are the Son of God. So that's the way Jesus overcomes the if, by turning it to an is. When Satan is tempting him in the wilderness and he asks him, if you are the Son of God, he says, Jesus responds with, it is written this. And he reads or recites the scripture. It is written, is. It's not an if, it is an is. When he's hanging on the cross, and they're saying, you know, if you are the Son of God, come down from there. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. And Jesus in the very last says, it is finished. It is done. Another form of the is the am. When he's confronted by Mary and Martha as Lazarus has died, and he says, and they say, well, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And he says, I am the resurrection and the life. I am. It is. He is. There's no doubts. So we, through faith, take the if. And Jesus turns it to an is. This is my body given for you at the communion rail. This is my blood shed for you. This is. There's no doubt. There's no wondering. Well, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, I don't know. If it is his, then it does this. If it isn't his, then it does. It is his. No more ifs. So our little word of the day, this if of doubt is turned to an is of faith. And that's the faith in which we live. We live in a sure and certain Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.